Indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. But we have a great high priest in Jesus Christ who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses.
Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive grace and find mercy in our time of need.
It is indeed good for us to be here.
I'll go from back here where there's a mic. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, we cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us now confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are caught into sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, redeem us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Please be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The first reading is from Amos, the fifth chapter. Seek the Lord and live, or he will break out against the house of Joseph like fire, and it will devour Bethel with no one to quench it. Ah, you that turn justice to wormwood and bring righteousness to the ground. They hate the one who reproves in the gate, and they abhor the one who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and take from them levies of grain, you have built stones of hewn stone, houses of hewn stone, but you shall not live in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins. You who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and push aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, the prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you. Just as you have said, hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 90 responsively with me. So teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart.
Turn, O Lord, how long? Have compassion on your servants.
Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days.
Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us, and as many years as we have seen you.
Let your work be manifest to your servants, and your glorious power to their children.
Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper for us the work of our hands. O prosper the work of our hands.
The second reading is from Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who is in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace in help. Find grace to help in time of need. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
As he was setting out on a journey, as Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother." The rich man said to Jesus, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own. And give the money to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me." When the rich man heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but for God, for God, all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake or for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
You sounded emphatic. I commend you for that. You may be seated. I want to offer a quick corrective that I'm not going to preach on, but it's in here, and I feel like we need to correct it. For God, all things are possible, says Jesus. He is pointing specifically there, right, to the answer to this question, then who can be saved? It's talking about salvation, not necessarily like, I don't know, well, if we just ask God, then we'll be able to pick up the church and throw it on the back of a semi or something. It's not what Jesus is saying there. But it's taken out of context a lot. Anyway, on to the sermon. So I have a very specific job for you today. I do have a small prop today. Not Cheerios. Nope. So I have a job today. My job today is to make what Jesus says more palatable for us. You see, we're, for the most part, a bunch of middle-class people sitting here worshiping in Galleon, Ohio. I'm supposed to make this more palatable for us. I'm supposed to take the sword away from Jesus today, this piercing sword, and instead, I'm supposed to use a butter knife. A butter knife. So here's what I want to do instead today. I don't want to do, well, what I want to do is fail. I want to fail at what I'm supposed to do and not do what the preacher is supposed to do, which with this text in a context like this, which is to subdue it. Instead, I want to make us, me included, feel very uncomfortable today. Just feel a little bit of what I'm going to call holy discomfort. Jesus tells the rich man, he says, go sell what you own. Give the money to the poor. Treasure in heaven will surely be yours. And then come, follow me. The man obviously refuses. I mean, look, can you blame him? If Jesus said this to me, I'd be like, can I at least bring my drinkies with me? Like, I only have two today. Like, I need three. Probably. I wouldn't even be willing to get rid of my drinkies to follow Jesus. And Jesus is asking, get rid of everything. The man, as we might expect, he refuses. He goes away. He leaves Jesus. And Jesus then tells his disciples, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Now, for all of you people who don't sow, does anybody here sew? Okay. Threading a needle. Could you fit a camel through it? Okay, I needed you to confirm this for me. I've never sewn. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. All right. It's not easy to get a camel through an eye of a needle. Some would say impossible. So here's where I am supposed to steal the sword from Jesus. Or at the very least, to take the edge off of it and maybe blunt it and turn it to a butter knife to make it, you know, pretty well useless except for spreading, you know, butter. Have you ever tried to use a butter knife to spread jelly? Not jam, but jelly. It's awful. Butter knives are pretty much useless. But I'm supposed to make Jesus' words today useless. I'm supposed to spiritualize the teaching. Jesus, he's not talking about actual wealth and money and possessions. No, he's talking about the love of it. I'm supposed to twist his words into knots and say the man's sin is the love of wealth, not actually having it. I'm supposed to say that it is his love of wealth. That is what's preventing him from following. That's what's keeping him in bondage, and that's why he's unable to follow. And I'm supposed to point out to you that y'all are here. I'm here. It's Sunday morning. We're not out at brunch yet. We're here. We're doing what we're supposed to do. We are worshiping God. We give money to the church. We've collected a bunch of money for hurricane relief. We're going to keep doing it. There's some boxes back there that we're going to send to some people that we don't even know. We're going to collect Christmas gifts in it, right? We're going to shove a bunch of stuff into shoe boxes. We're going to send those. And we should do all of these things. Don't report me to Melanie, please. I don't want to diminish that ministry. Don't tell Melanie that I'm saying bad things about it. Let's fill tons of shoe boxes. Keep doing it. But I have to ask, does everything you own, does it fit in a shoebox? No. So, I have my backpack here today. Yes, my lovely Paisley Star Wars backpack. What's bigger, shoebox or backpack? Like maybe Shaq's shoes come in a shoebox bigger than this. But, all right, not only that, if I were to carry this around Palestine and follow Jesus for a while,
Didn't quite have the thought I wanted, but it's pretty heavy. I carry a lot of stuff in that backpack. But Jesus, he's not talking to us today, right? I could take the sword from Jesus. I could replace it with this butter knife, but I'm not going to. If the words from Scripture make us feel uncomfortable today, then good. They're supposed to. We need to rest in this discomfort. Indeed, says the author of Hebrews, indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. He doesn't say anything about butter knives. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides the soul from spirit, the joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Jesus' words today, they are not meant to be softened for middle-class Americans and their middle-class pastors who are called to preach them. They are meant to pierce. They are meant to interrogate the thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. They are meant to make us feel holy discomfort. Not so much so that we turn and run away and escape Jesus forever. No, that's not Jesus' goal. I don't think he wanted this for the rich man. But enough that we at some point turn, at least after some amount of reflection and contemplation, and follow him. Because the sword that he is yielding, that living and breathing word of God, because it has cut the ropes of our bondage and it's freed us from that which we cling to, that is keeping us from following Jesus, that which keeps us from being in full relationship with God. What must I do to inherit eternal life? The rich man, he is very sincere. He is sincere when he asks this question. He loves God. You know the commandments, responds Jesus, and Jesus goes on to recite a whole litany. And then Jesus looks upon him. Except for he does more than just look. The Greek word is, you ready for your Greek lesson for the day? The Greek word is emblepo. Jesus gazes earnestly. He gazes earnestly at this man. He looks searchingly upon this man. He does what neither you nor I could do. He looks beyond what is visible to us mere mortals, and he searches this man's inner being. Jesus, look, it pierces this man's soul. He gazes into this man's being, and as the author of Hebrews explains, he judges the thoughts and the intentions of this man's heart. He says, sell what you have and give it to the poor, and then follow me. But why? Why? What's wrong with wealth? I mean, I looked up the commandments this week. I did it. I did what I was supposed to do. I looked up the commandments. It says, don't make wrongful use of the name of God. Keep the Sabbath. Honor your father and mother. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. It says, don't talk crap about your neighbor. And thankfully for all of us, we don't do that. It says, what? Is that one you may have issues with there? Anyway, sorry. Sorry to call you out. You said it. Anyway. He says, one more, he says, don't covet other people's stuff. So this guy, he had money. Who cares? What commandment was he breaking? Come on. We spent a whole Lent talking about this stuff. Okay. There's this one that I left out. What? We talked about coveting. What's the one that comes really, really kind of at the whole beginning? Oh, you have no other gods before me. Uh-oh. So it could be that this rich man's stuff, his money, his property, all of his things, they were so important to him that he chose them, these things. He decided to cling to them rather than following Jesus. This is what I think Jesus saw when he gazed into the man's heart. The rich man was lying to himself about keeping the commandments because he loved things and stuff and money more than big G God. He loved little g gods more than God. I'm not condemning him, I'm just stating it. Why did Jesus at this point tell this man to get rid of his stuff, his things, his God? Did he do it so the poor could be fed and clothed? I mean, maybe. Maybe, I mean, this would be a nice consequence, but I think it's secondary. It's secondary to what's going on here. You see, Jesus looks at this man, he peers into his soul, and there's something really important that we hear here. Anyway, there's something really important. I think it's key to interpreting this whole text. It says that Jesus loves him. Jesus looks into this man's soul and he loves him. And because he loves him, he wants to be in relationship with this man. He wants this man to follow him. And when I say follow him, I mean literally follow him. He wants this man to follow him and his disciples as they continue to Jerusalem. You see, they are marching to Jerusalem. There has not been one. There have now been two passion predictions. There will be a third very, very soon. And Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He has set his face on Jerusalem. And very soon, Jesus will be welcomed into Jerusalem as a king. And pretty soon after that, well, we know what happened. Jesus wants this man to literally follow him to Jerusalem, but it's going to take a lot of camels, a whole caravan of camels to lug around this rich man's stuff, and the time has come. Now is the time. And Jesus does not have time to lug around this guy's stuff. No time for one, two drinkies plus a third in the refrigerator downstairs. There is no time for this caravan of camels. And Jesus says, if you want to follow me, the time is now. Sell what you own. Get rid of it. Give what you have to the poor and follow me, because we are going to Jerusalem now. And when we go there, you will join my kingdom. That kingdom will be inaugurated into being on the cross in Jerusalem. You see, he wants this man to follow him to the cross because he knows that this cross will set him free. He wants him to follow him to the cross because he loves him and he knows what that cross does. But despite Jesus' love for him, he can't convince him. This man cannot let his wealth go, and Jesus must move on. He says, sorry, I gotta go. My dear siblings in Christ, when Jesus peers into our hearts, when Jesus peers into your heart and my heart, into our minds and our souls, what does he see? Now, the bad news is, I'm guessing he sees exactly what it is that keeps each and every one of us from fully following him to the cross. There's some good news, though. Like the rich man, Jesus loves us dearly. He longs to set us free. Which begs the question, from what does Jesus want to set you free? What are your little g gods? And now's where I'm obliged to name a bunch in hopes that it spurs some kind of recollection for you. What keeps you from following Jesus to the cross? For some of us, we are that rich man. Fundamentally, we are the rich man. It is money and wealth and things that keep us tied back from following Jesus. For others, it's status and power. One for me. Let's see if I can make it thud better this time. You know why this is so heavy? This thing is heavy because it's filled with books. My little g God is knowledge. I want to be so smart. I want to come up here and just rattle off all kinds of things and seem so smart to all of you because that's what's important, right? Because I can take that knowledge into the next life. For others, we want to be seen as worthy. We want to be good enough. We want others to approve of us, right? Because if they approve of us, if other people approve us, then God's going to, right? For some of us, it might be our families, friends. Seems like a strange thing to say, but it's true. Maybe it's our egos. Maybe we just want to be liked. Maybe our health, our wellness is important and above all things. I don't know. I see lots of signs in people's yards this time of year. Maybe we have a little g God of wanting an election to go just our way. It was funny, after my sermon was done, I sat down and I picked up my phone at St. Paul, and I looked and it told me how many hours, not minutes, hours on average I had spent on this thing last week. I ain't telling you, it was kind of ridiculous. Technology, Facebook, phones, devices, they are God. I'm barely scratching the surface. What is your God? What keeps you from fully following God, from following Jesus? I doubt if it's just one thing for you. It's not one thing for me. We have a lot of little g gods in our lives, and I'm right there with you. Okay, well, you feeling that holy discomfort yet? Let's keep going. How about the collective we, us? We are a community of faith. What are our collective we gods? Hey, buildings, property and buildings. Follow me on this. I'm not poo-pooing our building. Follow me, though. We have to ask, when we talk about stewarding buildings, is it a hindrance? Is it a money pit? Or is it a gift that is worth stewarding? And when we think about whether it's a gift worth stewarding, we have to ask, for whom is this a gift? Is it only a gift for us? Or is it a gift for many beyond our community of faith? I would say, given some of the things that we're doing with our building, some of the things we've done recently even, we are stewarding this not just for ourselves, and that's important, but for those beyond ourselves. And we must continue to ask hard questions. How else might God be calling us to use this space for the good of God's people, to allow others to follow Jesus? Collective ministries, these are tough ones, right? Are there any that we're being called to maybe leave back there behind us? Are there any that have outlived their usefulness that we need to celebrate and allow to die? Are there any that we, when we engage in them, cause us that holy discomfort that we ask, is this what we're being called to do? And if we feel that holy discomfort as we do them, is this Jesus trying to liberate us from these ministries so that we can walk with Jesus and the Holy Spirit and go out into our community and say things like, hey, what's going on out here? Where is God out here? And how might God be calling us to be in relationship with our community so that we can walk with them too? Jesus looked at the rich man. He searched his heart, and because Jesus loved him, Jesus looks at us, he searches our hearts, and because Jesus loves us, because Jesus loves us, this is why he does not wield a butter knife. It is because Jesus loves us that he wields a sword. Because if you've ever tried to cut a rope, nice thick rope with a butter knife, good luck. It's not worth anything. But if you have a nice big old sword, I don't have any swords. If I did, I probably wouldn't throw it. That is what Jesus wields, because that is what is going to cut that rope of bondage that keeps us from following Jesus and keeps us from being in relationship with God. So I have to ask, are you uncomfortable right now? I really hope so. I hope you feel just a little bit of holy discomfort. And if so, I have not done what I was supposed to do today, which is to make you feel okay with this text and be like, yeah, Jesus wasn't talking to me. If you feel uncomfortable, all I've done is allow this text, this sword, to do its work for me. I've allowed the living and active word of God to pierce us until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow, to judge the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. If you are not feeling uncomfortable right now, let me know and I can keep going. Because I've pulled more than a few punches today. My dear siblings in Christ, lean into this discomfort. Allow it to wash over you. This is the work of the triune God. I know it is. The triune God is active and moving and alive. God is working and moving in and through you, in and through us, this community. He is trying to destroy those little g gods. The little g gods that keep us from following Jesus, that keep us from being in relationship with God. Embrace this discomfort. Knowing that this feeling is Jesus Christ tugging on each and every one of our hearts, saying, I want nothing more. I want nothing more than to be in relationship with you. Think of that. The creator of this universe wants to be in relationship with you, and he is pulling on your heart, and he is saying, follow me. He's saying, come, relieve yourself of these big, heavy burdens. He's saying, leave them over there. You don't need all of that knowledge. Come, follow me and be in full relationship with God. And you know what? That's quite an invitation. It's an invitation that comes from nowhere else than Jesus' love for you and for me and for all of us. That is some wonderful news. That is, in fact, the good news of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. And for that I say, thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Hope my books didn't come unbound in there. Jeez. That wasn't even planned. Good thing I took my computer out. Maybe it was planned. Toast? I found your book, though. I have it. I don't. Thank you.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
Challenged by God's word in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and the whole creation.
Sustaining God, as the harvest in North Central Ohio continues, we pray for farmers, field workers, and those who process crops. Keep them safe as they live out their vocation of feeding a hungry world. Bless the harvest fields, that they may receive the rest they need in order to be planted again in due time. God of grace,
hear our prayer. Steadfast God, cure your children's warring madness. The world, it seems to be devolving into more chaos each day. Fighting in the Middle East has extended into its second year. It's now impacting more nations and civilians than ever. The war between Russia and Ukraine, it continues to rage. Drug violence in Haiti, Mexico, and parts of Central and South America continue to make civilian life difficult or impossible. Inspire world leaders to work collectively to end wars and violence and work toward a unifying goal of ending poverty, starvation, and preventable disease. Direct us to seek justice and equity that all may live in peace. God of grace,
hear our prayer. Loving God, we pray for those who are afflicted, tormented, grieving, or oppressed, and lonely, especially Chuck, Haley, Troy, and his family, Wylea, Paige, Robin, Phil, Carl, Sandy, Scott, Jean, Stephanie, and Nathan, Tina, Kathy, Barb, Jane, Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Tony, Ed, Peggy, Bobby, Nancy, Jim, Karen, Bill, Linda, Wilma, and especially this morning for Peggy and for Jerry, and also for those we name, either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Deliver the strength of your love and compassion to all who need it today. God of grace,
hear our prayer. Sovereign God, cure your children's warring and madness. As we near November 5th and dangerous rhetoric continues to pervade the political discourse of this nation, bear us up and remind us that you, O God, are the one true King, and that through the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, your new kingdom was established here and now, today. Through our hands and feet, our words and our actions, be with us as we work to bring your kingdom more fully into being with you. God of grace.
Compassionate God, parts of this nation have been ravaged by two massive and destructive hurricanes in less than a month. Please continue to comfort the family and friends of those whose lives have been lost and sustain those who are continuing to clean up and are beginning to rebuild from the destruction. Bless the work of all aid workers and agencies, especially Lutheran Disaster Response, that all donated aid will go directly towards relief efforts. As we continue to support these relief efforts, may we be generous bearers of your eternal love. God of grace,
hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in the saving grace you freely give, both now and forever. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. So with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our bread. And forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us approach this throne of grace, this holy table, with boldness, knowing that in this bread and in this wine, we receive mercy and find grace. God withholds mercy and grace from no one. So come, all of you, eat and drink here and be restored. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Holy God, you have welcomed us to this meal and fed us with dignity at your table. Send us now to welcome others and to be at peace with one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Okay, since you all did come today, and I know you're still waiting for brunch, we'll try to be quick. Bible study has been moved to 2 p.m., so take note, 2 p.m. at St. Paul. Spooktacular, we're about what? A third of the way there on candy? Looks like we got some more today, so maybe approaching half. So I think we got two more Sundays after this one. So if you can, please bring some of that in. I know we're asking for lots of stuff right now. So please consider that. We're also continuing to collect this week and the rest of the month for CCSG. That is one of those ministries I was alluding to in my sermon, that we've opened this building and invited the community in. I think we're collecting peanut butter and all-purpose baking mix. Also, I alluded to these boxes. You were very wonderful in picking up a whole bunch of them. So I did steal a few more from St. Paul. So if you're interested in filling some and you didn't get a chance to grab them, I'll put those back there. At the exit, and you can grab those on your way out. Noisy offering for the rest of this month and the following month, this November, is going to go to Lutheran Disaster Response for hurricane relief. I would say especially with the previous hurricane, but definitely also with this one, some unprecedented damage, and they are in unprecedented need for relief. Lutheran Disaster Response uses the ELCA's resources and therefore is able to put everything that we put into an earmark for hurricane relief. 100% of that does go directly to hurricane victims. Yes, ma'am.
On the boxes?
Yes.
Is there a
There's a pamphlet somewhere. Is it back there? It says something. I don't know. Yeah, it gives an age and all the things, but it also, I think there's a little sheet about like that back there that says, here's what you don't put in the box. So, so there's that. Also, after 3 years of faithfully serving us literally every week, Teresa is taking 3 days off. Can you believe that? So Teresa will be out of the office Tuesday through Thursday. I will be here on Tuesday and Thursday in the office from 9 to 1, covering for her. Geneva will be here on Wednesday from 9 to 1. Teresa will be here on Monday. So if you need anything specifically from Teresa, she will be here tomorrow. So, and also if you see Teresa, just tell her thank you. That's kind of crazy. That's awesome. So what other announcements? Any other announcements this morning? Did I miss anything? I feel like I missed something. Yeah, Okay. Oh, Lutheran Partnership meeting. Lutheran Partnership this Wednesday at St. Paul, 7 p.m. Well, why don't you say it? Stand up. Well, I thought about it. I was going to tell them at the end because I didn't want it to affect their giving. Okay. But go on. All right, like I said, I know we're asking for a lot right now, so please prayerfully consider what you can and are able to donate to. So we're spreading it across a lot of stuff, so please consider that. Anyway, it is time for a blessing. Please stand in body or in spirit. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. What is keeping you from passing through the eye of that needle?
Go, search within yourself, and let the unconditional love of Jesus move your heart.
And once moved, don't keep it to yourself. Go, proclaim the good news.
We will.